on 1116 SEN. Bush and the Burbs for Toyota's Good for Footy program. Local Toyota dealers supporting local clubs. Discover more at toyota.com.au/AFL.
It's time for Bush and the Burbs, and Paul Daffy personally is brought to you by the Standard Hotel. Good food, good conversation in the back streets of Fitzroy. Not easy to find, but once you do, very easy to love. The Standard Hotel. And Daffy, you were out watching finals football on the weekend. Standard would not be the word anyone would use to describe the game between Bacchus Marsh and Darley.
G'day, Finey. G'day, listeners. Yes, that's right. I mean, Bacchus Marsh is not far away. Actually, Darley is not far away. People might not realise that Darley is sort of like a sister or a brother town to Bacchus Marsh, but they're very different places. I just thought I'd go there for a look. I specifically wanted to see Jarrah Maximau. Now, he's a...
Jarrah whom?
Jarrah Maximau. He is a small forward who plays as a full forward. I reckon he'd be about... He'd be lucky to be 180 centimetres. He might not even be 180 centimetres. But anyway, he's a highly talented player, apparently, and highly volatile. And I know at least one VFL club... He basically was a massive part of the reason that Bacchus Marsh won their first ever Ballarat League Premiership last year. He was recruited from North Albury, I assume, although I'm not sure, but you know, it's logical that the link is Travis Hodgson, who spent 10 years playing at North Albury, then coached the club, and then returned to his hometown, which is Sunbury, and now coaches Bacchus Marsh, and he took him to the flag last year, coached him to the flag. So I presume Travis got Jarrah to Bacchus Marsh, and he's a fantastic player. I haven't seen him, I just wanted to go and see him, but apparently he's fantastic, mercurial, but very volatile. And sure enough, I got there just at the end of the first quarter, and Darley were well on top, and it was sort of almost bizarre. But there was some, I stood in front of this one of those, some grounds have this low tin stand effect where the home supporters stand under this low tin roof, and there's a very...
Make a din,
and there's a very palpable sort of atmosphere. And there's a lot of feeling between these clubs. Bacchus Marsh have not been successful at all. They've barely played in finals for the last 20 years. But Darley is on the other side of the highway. So let's say Bacchus Marsh is to the left of the Western Highway, the road that goes to Ballarat, and Darley's on the other side. It's very much split by the highway. But it's sort of the wrong side of the track situation. Where Bacchus Marsh historically would have been, you know, I'm sure 100 years ago, graziers and pastoralists and bankers and, you know, the good country stock, as well as local blokes in town. Darley is a working man's club. So there's a real class thing, and there's a real edge to matches between them. You know, the makeup of the club's probably quite similar these days, but that's the historical... A background to it. But yeah, the Darley supporters, I didn't hear anything untoward. They were just barracking for their club, but it was, you know, there's a lot, clearly a lot of feeling, a lot of pro Darley feeling from those Darley supporters. They just don't like Bacchus Marsh. And the players were just pumped up. They were sort of running on it. Darley won the flag in 2015, Bacchus Marsh won last year, so they're two very strong clubs. This was a second semi final. And Darley just got the jump, largely through emotion and some good coaching, I suppose. Heath Scotland's the coach. He had a bloke on Jarrah Maximau whose job was just to annoy him, needle him, and it worked. In the second quarter, Jarrah got a rather nondescript, well, got a free kick against him, and he was needled again, and he responded by headbutting his opponent. This is when I had one of the very few Ron Barassi moments in my life. I only heard this week that apparently in 1989, Ron Barassi was on 3OW with Rex Hunt. When Mark Yates ran through Dermot Brereton, Rex said to Ron, "Did you see that, Ron?" He said, "I didn't actually. I was bending down to pick up my pen." So I missed the big moment. As Jarrah Maximau was headbutting his opponent, I forget his first name, his second name was Minns, I was just bending down to put my son and his mate's soft drink cans on the ground. So I missed the actual incident. It's one of those, you know, you can go to the cricket for a day, one wicket from 6 hours of play and you miss it because you're coughing or something. It was one of those moments. So I didn't actually see the incident, but I got the context of it. And it's just anything to do with Jarrah Maximau, just Daly players and supporters are up and about and yelling, and he was reported, sent a red card, that's it for the rest of the day. And Bacchus Mars, just everything, it was one of those days, everything went wrong. They had two bad injuries in the first quarter, the players are off for the rest of the match. So it was just a shocking day for the reigning Premier. And they tried at various stages to get back in the game and just had no effect. I was really impressed with the coach, Travis Hodgson, at three-quarter time. He didn't lose his cool, just said, just keep going for it. And, yeah, it's just one of those great... a 98-point victory, that's not a close game, but there's a lot going on around that match to make it interesting.
So a return bout between Bacchus Marsh and Daly would be most interesting, but, of course, Bacchus Marsh, to make that a possibility, have to win a preliminary final. We have got Travis Hodgson, the coach of Bacchus Marsh, to join us later in the hour.
I rang Travis this morning and said, would you come on? He said, yeah, no problem. So that's good of him. I have no doubt that he... I spoke to Adam Sutherland, the president, this morning as well. I said, mate, nothing. Look from the outside, just like nothing more could have gone wrong. He said, that's exactly what happened. So they're just looking at it as an opportunity. Nothing, presumably nothing as wrong as that can go. Sorry, not so much can go wrong. Having said that, they're playing Lake Wendouree, who've been the minor premier the last 2 years. Last year they bombed out in straight sets, I think. This year they had a disappointing first final. They won last week. So they'll be very keen to, you know, at least get through the grand final and hopefully win it, given that, you know, they've been on top of the ladder the last 2 years. So Bacchus Marsh are going to have their work cut out. Without Jared Maximow, without Trent Angwin, the fullback, and another player who did his knee, I forget his name, but yeah.
And it's
very interesting. Very interesting.
It's timely to talk to somebody from the Ballarat Football League because, of course, today the announcement that North Ballarat have been removed from the VFL will impact upon that league, and so that this could also be brought up.
I didn't know this, of course, when I made the phone calls this morning, but it does. I mean, I heard Nigel and Brett on the way in. And saying, no, it's a shame that they've got such a good stadium. I have a different view in that, why is there such a good stadium at North Ballarat? I mean, anyone would have taken two phone calls or one phone call to anyone in Ballarat footy, involved in Ballarat footy, to know that North Ballarat was not considered the team of the town. It was just considered North Ballarat Footy Club. So why did they develop a club that was... No, there's always been an aspect of that club which has not been happy about being in the VFL. There's some supporters, a small rump years ago, which has now become the dominant faction. That wasn't hard to foresee a long time ago. So I don't think, I wrote this 2 years ago in the Age, that I don't think they should have developed North Ballarat. All that millions of government money should have gone into they probably would have had to build a new stadium because... Sort of the city oval and the eastern oval are unable to be developed. So there's no easy solution. But I just don't think they should have developed the North Ballarat Oval in the way they have. It was inevitable that North Ballarat would lose their licence, I thought. And I think there'd be a consortium might develop from the town of Ballarat or Great and Western Victoria or something. So I think people, while years ago Ballarat Free League people would have been anti a VFL team, those days have changed. I know in Bendigo they wish they still had a... The Bendigo Footy League people wish they still had a VFL team in the town. That didn't work, but I think I can see a day when Ballarat will have a VFL team, but not North Ballarat. So the politics of it are quite complex behind the scenes. Just one other thing on North Ballarat. Last week, Central Highlands played their grand final there. The ground manager wouldn't let anyone onto the ground at half-time, three-quarter time and quarter time because she didn't want her schedule being... mucked up. You know, it takes a long time to get people off the ground after the breaks. Now, that just shows a complete lack of a sense of occasion. People like to go out and hear the coach. They like to go and have a kick. It's part of the fun of going at local footy. And to not let them on because it might upset your schedule.
Sounds like a function organiser, not a football ground manager.
A complete bureaucrat, Mandarin. But I saw Rod Ward, who has a AFL Goldfields boss, who has a great feel for footy. Rod's a Daly man. I saw him at the ground on Saturday. I noticed in the Courier he was quoted this week saying, yes, the Ballarat Grand Final is at Mars Stadium, North Ballarat's ground, next Saturday, and people will be allowed on the ground at quarter time, half time, and three quarter time. So they've learned from that mistake last week, and they're going to amend it next week.
There may have been a dressing down during the week, or at least informing that ground manager of the sensitivities of local football. Let's have a look at some other grand finals completed in country football over last weekend. And in the Bellarine Football League, the result is conclusive. And I see in the best players is an old friend of this program, a former shared the microphone with me, one of local football and VFL football's great gentlemen, wonderful leaders and an excellent player and just somebody you get into your club and your club's going to go be the much better for it, Dom Gleeson.
That's right. Dom, great friend of this program and other programs over the years. Headed down to Torquay. So Torquay lost the second semi to Geelong Amateurs 2 weeks ago. So Torquay and Bowen Heads were probably the two strongest clubs for most of the year in the Bellarine League. Then Geelong Amos came through at the end. They won the last three flags. 15 years ago, they were no good in finals. They had a habit of losing them when they shouldn't. But now they've developed into a very powerful finals combination, as happens. You know, you learn from the bad times, I suppose. But Torquay, to their credit, they rebounded from their loss in the second semi, defeated Bowen Heads last week, and then come through in the grand final, defeating Geelong Amos by 51 points. Billy Henderson kicked seven. Was best on ground, and Dom Gleeson was in the best. Good luck to Dom for playing. Dom must be well into his 30s by now, but for playing in the flag with the Tigers. I think he coached it, actually, as well. No, actually, he was coach originally. Anyway, he played in it. I can say that much for sure.
Just received an SMS from somebody called Brett. Won't give his surname out, but I'm pretty sure I know who Brett is. And in fact, I do know. I'm going to take your mobile, Brett, give you a call tomorrow sometime, and great to catch up, have a chat with you. And we had a connection going back, a football connection on cardboard. Let's just say that. Off to the East, Gippsland Football League. And I like that these two teams played in the grand final because I regularly confuse them. Lindenau and Lucknow.
Yes, I do myself, Ronnie. You're right. Lindenau got up, not surprising, on top of the ladder all year. The little detail, so that they've won by 42 points. They won last year's flag as well. The detail from that is that Luke Dyer is a Lindenau best midfielder. This year he won his fourth league medal. So he won 2010 and 11, then went to Bairnsdale for 5 years, played in the Gippsland League, came back last year. And so for these last 2 years, he's won the league medal and the best on ground in the grand final in both years. So he's best on ground again on Saturday. So he's a very humble and popular man in East Gippsland. So good luck to Luke.
These are great towns as well that would be so filliped by a win in a local grand final. Just everybody getting around, and I know that not all the players live in town, but great source of pride for a place like Lindenau.
Yeah, it's about 20 km out of Bairnsdale. Most of the players would live in Bairnsdale these days, but it's a strong little footy area, actually.
On to the Alberton Football League, and Fish Creek have been strong all season, haven't they?
They have, on top. They finished 5 games clear on top, actually.
Yep.
And no surprise. I mean, this is the great romantic. There's two romantic stories in country footy this year. Tura were going for their first flag in 44 years. So when was that? 1973. They made their last grand final in 1989. Their last final series in 2007. And this year, under Jack Weston, who was on Geelong's rookie list 10 years ago, he's the playing coach. He's got them up to the grand final. But playing against Fish Creek, the reigning premiers, who were too good throughout the year, and so it turned out to be on Saturday. Fish Creek had defeated Tura by 53 points. Ethan Park, best on ground.
Oh, my God. Now, is this right? Ethan Park, Callan Park, Bailey Harfield Park. They all played well?
Yeah, they did. Now, finally,
you could easily go to the wrong ground just looking at the playing list.
I interviewed Callan Park, who's the Fish Creek captain today, from a podcast, Photo Footy. There was four Park brothers playing and a cousin who's a Park, or Harfield Park. It's a hyphenated name. So five Parks out of the 20 were in that Fish Creek premiership team. So
they could rename that ground Park Park.
They could. And Callan told me today that his grandfather, Irvin, coached 8 premiership teams at Fish Creek decades ago. Mm. Father Neil played in a premiership team. So a deep... McGannon's is another
there
big
name.
There
was a Neil Park who played for St Kilda. That's not that Neil Park, is it?
I don't know. But very, very strong name at the Fish Creek Footy Club, as you can see. I mean, four brothers between 25 and 20, mm-hmm. and the cousin is 20 as well. So all close together. Midfielders, you know, a lot of feeling. They just love playing for their club.
Let's move on to the Heathcote District Football League. Lichfield Gunbower defeated North Bendigo by 26 points. And always great when you can kick a bag in a final. And Matt Perry will look back at this game, given the margin was only 4 goals, and know that his 6 goals were central to the victory.
Yep, Matt's kicked over 100 goals. Significant. So another 6 in the grand final. Tim Lincoln best on ground. Lichfield Gunbower have won for the last 2 years. They won the second semi, went into the grand final, but lost the grand final to North Bendigo. This year they won the second semi again, defeating North Bendigo, but they've managed to defeat North Bendigo in the grand final. So they've overturned the last 2 grand final results and got one up. That's the club's first premiership since 1995, which was the first year of their merger, actually, the first year that Lichfield and Gunbower got together.
Some clear-cut results so far, but a nail-biter in the Mid-Gippsland Football League, where Mirboo North defeated Yennar by only 2 points in a low-scoring torrid affair, 5-12 to 5-10.
5-12-42 to 5-10-50. 2 weeks before the finals, Mirboo North were 7th. They scraped into the finals. They won their last game. They're all sitting around in the rooms afterwards listening to the local radio broadcast of another game to see if they would actually make the finals. Results fell their way. They sneaked into the 5. And then they've just progressed through the finals until they've won the grand final.
Well, this is a famous win then.
It's an amazing win. Yennar finished. It was the 3rd versus 4th in the grand final. The top 2 went out in straight sets. So it's very unusual. Clancy Bennett was the playing coach. Jacob Blair best on ground. Tim Trail kicked 2. Now, Tim retired after 2005-15 season. Came back out of retirement, played a few reserves games at the end of this season. Was brought in for the prelim team last week and kicked 4 at 38 or something. And then he's kicked another 2 in a premiership win. So that's an amazing turnaround in fortunes for him. And Clancy Bennett, as the coach, took a punt on picking Tim and it worked out. And it's just one of those fairy tale runs. I mean, that's Bulldog-esque from last season.
Let's stay in the Gippsland region, North Gippsland Football League, and Sale City, too good for Hayfield in the grand final by 39 points.
I think I got that one wrong, finally. I think that was the prelim.
Okay. So that's good luck to them in the grand final there.
Sale City in the grand final.
But the Pocola and District Football League had a grand final where Pocola United defeated Strathmerton by 18 points, their second flag in a row, and John Walker was the P in the pod.
Yeah, look, they haven't won a flag for 50 years. Now they've won 2 in a row. And Tallangaran District League, Thurgoona defeated Kiwa Sandy Creek by 85 points. That was the only real blowout in the grand finals. Matt Fowler kicked 9. Albury legend, Ovens and Murray legend.
Is that one of the smaller leagues, the Tallangatta and District Football League?
No, there's a
healthy league.
Very strong, actually. There's 12 clubs.
Okay.
Basically based traditionally south of Wodonga or out of Wodonga. It's a very strong league these days.
Yep.
Because Albury and Wodonga is a very strong, vibrant regional area. In the Warrnambool District League, Cloora Nurat defeated Old Collegians by 54 points. Old Collegians lost last year's grand final in an upset. And this year, it wasn't an upset, but they were disappointed about losing 2 grand finals in a row now. But well done to Cloora Nurat. Just a very small dairy community, about, I don't know, 30 kilometres, 40 kilometres east of Warrnambool. So they'd be very happy.
And very quickly, some prelims played in country football on the weekend. In the Horsham and District Football League, Harrow Balmoral
monster win.
Defeated the Parrot Rainbow by an incredible preliminary final margin of 149 points. And they're into the grand final on Saturday against the Southern Mallee Giants. And Harrow Balmoral at Horsham City Oval will go in cock-a-hoop with confidence. I don't know whether they're favoured to win, but they certainly have hit form at the right time.
The Giants haven't been beaten for 2 years under coach Sean Monaghan. But Harrow Balmoral pushed them to within 4 points late in the season. So it's no certainty that the Giants will win. So that game's at Horsham City Oval. 1 kilometre or 2 kilometres away, the Wimmera League are playing at the Coghlan Park in Horsham. They've got a prelim going. So I don't know why one couldn't play on a different day, but they're playing concurrently. So that's not great fixturing for mine. Who'll be in the Warwick Eagles versus Horsham's... Munyit Matoa versus Warwick Eagles. That'll be the prelim in the Wimmera League on Saturday.
Sunraysia Football League. Now, of course, if you're not involved in the weekly goings in a football league, then you just look at a score, look at the town and sort of think, well, that's interesting. Irimple, they may well be, chock full of star players and far better through the season than Mildura, but I think it's nice to see Ayrimple defeat Mildura to get into the grand final and face AUN United.
Well, Mildura, they've had two shocking final series. Like, top of the ladder both last year, lost to AUN United in the grand final. Top of the ladder this year, out in straight sets. So much soul searching there. So Ayrimple's just, yeah, small community, just on the southern edge of Mildura.
Yep.
They'll be playing AUN United, going for their second flag in a row. AUN United have just got this great record of things clicking at this time of year. This is only their second year in the Sunraysia League and going for their second flag. So that game's at Mildura, number one oval, on Saturday.
See, AUN's not a dot on the map, but
about 1,200 people.
Yeah. It's not on a major thoroughfare. You know, you need to be going. You're not going to any capital city through AUN, I don't think, are you?
No, you're not. You mean you're. Is it now south? You're on the way to Mildura?
Yeah, I think
if you head left from AUN, you sort of you go through Underball and on your way to Adelaide. But no,
you pretty much go if you're in AUN, you're there. You're not there to fill the car up with petrol, generally. No, you're going to AUN.
It's a very strong footy area. They pound for pound, they produced a lot of footballers. Like Richmond's 1980 premiership team had 6 of their 20 were from that Swan Hill Sunraysia area, so they produced a lot of good players. AUN United, they couldn't compete, really, with those Mildura clubs just on their own. They fly in a few blokes from Darwin each week, the Farrah brothers, the two main ones, and they are absolute stars. They actually fly Relton Roberts down. He's playing the reserves, can't get a game in the seniors.
What does he weigh now?
He's not fit. He's not fit enough to play senior footy. So the AUN United reserves team will go into the grand final this week with Lawrence Angwin and Relton Roberts, two AFL...
checkered Korean footballers.
Two very talented players.
Yep.
But they can't get a go in the United seniors. I don't think either of them are too fussed about it either. I think Lawrence Angwin just... He sort of set it up there.
How's he going? I mean, that's...
He kicked 6 in the second semi in the reserves. I don't know why he just wouldn't put him in the seniors. Surely he could do some damage, but they've got...
And seriously, I mean, it's good... Is he settled down up there? I mean,
apparently, yes. He's a fine citizen.
Yeah, he went through some issues as a young man that young people do. And if he wasn't a league footballer, it'd be, you know, rap on the knuckles, grow up, which it should be even if he was a league footballer. So it's good to hear that he's settled up there. And I imagine now in his mid to late 20s, is he?
It's a good question.
Anyhow, all the best to Lawrence.
No, he'd be mid 30s fine.
Oh, mid 30s. So it was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. He went there to play footy and he's just settled there. Good luck to him.
Good on him.
Their full forward, Will Farrah, one of those two brothers who fly down from Darwin, he's kicked almost 100. He is an amazing...
Not Will Ferrell.
No. Farrah. Will Farrah, apparently an amazing athlete and player. And his brother, Joe, is a fantastic leader. So they're the two... They're very classy players. And if AUN United win on Saturday, it would be because those two have played good games.
Yeah, good part of Victoria. Good harness racing country, are you?
Yes, it is, very much.
And I always know when I hear some harness racing reports in various services, whether the people are Victorian or not, because if you're not Victorian, it's not an easy name to look at and pronounce correctly first up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a mate from England. We were on the way to the Pooncarry races on the other side of Mildura one.
Yep.
We stopped at Oyen, and he just couldn't say it.
No.
He's from Coventry. He said, we're stopping at Oyen. What are we stopping at Oyen for?
So
we want a candle lunch, Andy.
I've heard.
And his favourite town was Oyen for the next 12 months.
Yeah, I've heard sort of race callers and people doing the updates on in other states look at it and pause. It's just a name that you're going to have a go at, but you don't even know what the first port of call is. Oyen.
Five letters?
Yeah.
They create a bit of trouble.
Yeah. It's like Menzel on our news broadcast tonight. I don't know who Menzel is, but apparently he's in for Geelong. A break, and when we come back, look, the clubs are not under siege. They just had a very bad second semi-final.
That's true.
Travis Hodgson, the coach of the Bacchus Marsh Football Club, on getting back on the horse and getting another crack at Darley. They need to beat Lake Wendouree to do so. We'll find out what the pre-planning is after the break. Welcome back to Bush and the Burbs. Thanks to the Toyota Good for Footy program. And, of course, this season winds to an end in local football, but next year again, we imagine, as it has been such a strong relationship, Toyota will once again partner up with local footy teams. You need to get on board early. So go to toyota.com.au/AFL. Seriously, if you're involved in a local team, explore the avenues to sponsorship and support from your local Toyota dealer now. Paul Daffy, brought to you by the Standard Hotel. Good food, good conversation. In the back streets of Fitzroy, hard to find but easy to love, the Standard Hotel. Travis Hodgson and his coach of Bacchus Marsh, a football club that won the premiership last year after a long period, a long barren period. But it's a strong competition, is the Ballarat Football League, and no surprise that Lake Wendouree finished on top last year, were again a team to beat. Darley, near neighbours and rivals, another strong team. So it seems as though the city of Ballarat itself not quite providing the top-end talent, but surrounding areas and towns do. And now Bacchus Marsh have a battle on their hands to have another crack at a grand final, because they've got to beat Lake Wendouree to get there in the prelim on the back of a thrashing in the second semi-final to Darley, where everything that could have gone wrong did, but their coach is happy to talk through that game. And Daff, I hand over to you, because apart from the first quarter and a second where you dropped a can or put a can on the ground, you saw the game.
I did finally. G'day, Travis.
Daff, how are you, mate?
Good,
G'day, Trev.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I don't know whether you heard the preamble at nine, but I basically just said that everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. But I imagine that you've got the view that we get another crack this week. And to be fair, we got a text from a listener, Brett, who pointed out that you did beat Lake Wendouree in the first final and the two times you played them this year. So it's actually sort of tantalisingly placed. How do you see things, Travis?
Yeah, no, I think you're right on the weekend. Everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong, and that was unfortunate, but probably impacted the margin in the end. I think it was 98 points, but I think the result was just that Darley turned up to play and we were slightly off. So, not a great day for us on Saturday. Happy to put it behind us.
I was actually struck by the feeling, the Darley supporters, they just don't like Bacchus Marsh, do they? And the players were up for it.
There's not a lot of... I'd say there's a healthy respect and rivalry between the two clubs, but not a lot of love. And you probably didn't see it at its best because the game was over pretty quick and it fizzed out with our poor start. And then obviously we did have a pretty rough day. But certainly if the two clubs are both in the contest and there's a lot at stake, it's fairly fierce on field and off it.
You've got a full forward, short, fiery and famous, surname Maxi Mao, sounds like a ride at the show, and sounds like coaching him and being associated with him might have its ups and downs. You had a previous association with him further north in this state, so tell us about your relationship with the full forward and also the process that saw him join you at Bacchus Marsh.
Yeah, look, Jarrah's an extremely talented player. I don't think anyone who's seen him play would dispute that, but he's had his troubles off-field and grew up in Albury and probably hasn't really gotten what he should have out of his footy due to other factors, but had a few dramas up in Albury and North Albury where I'd previously coached, thought it might be a good idea for him to get a fresh start somewhere else a fair way from Albury. And we got him down about round five last year and he was exceptional for us last year. He played some terrific footy and was great around the club and certainly was a big contributor to our flag last year. And he's probably found things a little bit tougher this year with some personal things. But again, on the footy field and around the club, he's been super. He's obviously had a lot on his plate and it's probably started to affect his footy a little bit towards the end of the season. And unfortunately, he's been suspended for 2 weeks and won't be able to play the rest of it.
Given your relationship with him, is it more than coach and footballer? Is it obviously his life is complex away from football as well, and he's a long way from home. Do you take a role in that in trying to help him off field?
No doubt. That's been a big part of it. It's probably a part of the reason that he was prepared to come as far as he was. And I really need to praise the club on the way that they've supported Jarrah. The club's gone, to levels that I haven't seen a footy club go to support a player. And I don't mean from a football point of view. I mean the off-field side of things. He lived with our president, Adam Sutherland, for the first 6 months that he arrived last year. And the club got him into a terrific job, which he still works in now. And that's going really well. And, he's been really well looked after by the footy club. And in return, he's been good for us. So it's certainly been about the whole package with Jarrah, not just the footballer. And we've received the benefit of him playing some really good footy.
And, of course, look, when people hear about star player, fiery, headbutt, imaginations can run wild, but a two-week suspension, especially in a final, indicates that while it was inopportune not timely and costly to your club. We're not talking about serious on-field violence here, just a bit of a brain fade, and I imagine he was on tippy toes to do it.
Yeah, mate. Look, I'm probably Jared's harshest critic in some respects. You're the one driving him as coach and trying to drive standards, but definitely in Jared's defence, it was one of those games where, and no criticism intended, Darley here, but they obviously they thought it'd probably be in their best interest to try and upset Jarrah. You see it coming, and they did that really well, and I thought Jarrah handled himself pretty well for probably for a bit over a quarter, and obviously frustration probably started to get the better of him, but he was obviously never going to escape the heat from the opposition, potentially our best player and a match winner, and the sort of guy that obviously you might be able to get slightly off guard. That's the way it unfolded. But in Jarrah's defence, mate, it was certainly he probably didn't have a whole lot of choice in the end but to defend himself.
Finding a spot on there. I mean, 2 weeks for a headbutt, it's sort of not a headbutt. I mean, a headbutt is a four-week suspension. So the tribunals decided it wasn't a very heavy blow, and I suppose he was needled. And it should be mentioned that you did suspend him during the year for off-field, for not sticking to club behaviour, it seems. So it's been a very rollercoaster ride.
Aaron, like I said, he's had his moments throughout the year where we've had to deal with things personally. But on the weekend, and obviously you were there, Daff, I think, you only have people coming for so long before it gets to a point where you want to defend yourself. And
it was extraordinary how much he, not extraordinary, but he was needled a lot. Like everyone in the crowd was at him. He's just one of those blokes who just draws attention. He's obviously...
I'm glad you saw it that way too, as a neutral observer. But
fascinating. It was fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. And again, that comes with the territory a little bit for Jarrah. He's certainly a star player, and he's extremely exciting. And you've got to take the whole package with him. You can't pick and choose the parts you want.
Now, we don't want to labour too much on Saturday, but you did lose two players in the first quarter to injury. Trent Angwin was the fullback, and another fella did his knee. Is that right?
Yeah, look, Trent Angwin's been... he's probably team of the year material. He's been outstanding as a fullback. Beautiful kick. Young back at Smash Kid, 23. And it's a fairly savage blow. He did his hammy. I reckon it was probably about 15 minutes into the first quarter. And young Kane White, another one of our defenders.
Kane White.
Kane had someone pull across his leg 3 or 4 minutes into the game. And that looks like an ACL, that one. We haven't got confirmation because of the swelling, but looks like an ACL. So very unfortunate for those two that their campaign's over. And certainly that pretty much put an end to our chances on the day.
I was impressed at three-quarter time. You didn't go off your rock at all. You were very measured and... You're quite calm, actually. I imagine you've taken that approach into this week, or have you taken that approach into this week before the game against Lake Wendouree?
Yeah, look, because I wasn't overly disappointed with the boys again. I think the result obviously reads a lot worse than it is if you weren't at the game. But I thought we were disappointing in the first 15 or 20 minutes when the game was there to be won. Darley got us on the inside, on the outside. They were up and about, and we weren't. But outside of that, I thought it probably wasn't a whole lot we could do. We were a man down for 20 minutes, and we were rotations down for the rest of the day. And
their coach got more kicks than you, Travis, it must be said.
Yeah, he's outstanding, Scotto. I think he's still a very good player. Yeah, and he not only an on-field leader, but he gets a fair bit of the ball, uses it really well. So he definitely has a big impact on them from an on-field point of view, and it's one of the big reasons they've been successful to this point. As far as next week goes, we've obviously we dealt with that in the rooms on Saturday, and we've moved on and been really impressed with how positive the boys have been this week. I think we feel that although Saturday was disappointing, that's gone, and that we feel like we can get the Lakers, and if we do, we get another crack at Darley, which we're craving.
And I reckon there'll be a fair crowd that turns up, and for the Darley folk, there'll be no maximum out of needles, so I wonder how they'll occupy their times. We need to see who they play in that grand final, though. Travis, thank you for joining us tonight. Full and frank discussion of a game that didn't go your way, but the beauty about second semis in top fives is you live to fight another day. All the best for the weekend.
Cheers, fellas. Thanks.
Thanks, Travis. There's lots more to talk about. Fine, there's so much to cover there, but yeah.
Do you know Lake Wendouree's nickname?
The Lakers?
Oh, no, their club song, sorry.
I do not. I don't know. I just got a feeling you could make such a great club song with Lake Wendouree. You know, just to me, it's you sing the name more than say it. I wonder what it is.
Lyrical name, you
reckon? A lyrical name. A break when we come back. It's in the District Football League media manager, Adam Sadakoglu. It's time to check in with Essendon District Football League media manager because they are grand final set for the weekend, one of two local football leagues that are in metropolitan Melbourne. Western Region Football League, I believe, is the other. Adam Sadakoglu is their media manager. And, Daff, these are the big ones.
Yes, we're coming to the business end. G'day, Adam.
How are we? Yes, big game on Saturday.
Yes, Aberfeldy versus Greenvale, the Division 1 grand final at Windy Hill on Saturday. How's it shaping?
Yeah, these two teams are probably the two biggest powerhouses of the EDFL. It's the third time in 5 years that they've met here in the big day, and it is one apiece. So I reckon there is absolutely everything on the line on Saturday between two of the biggest clubs that we have in our league.
They've been clearly the best two clubs. How have they gone against each other this year?
Yeah, I think it was 1-1 in a home and away, and then they met 2 weeks ago in the finals. Greenvale, actually, unfortunately, they had such a great run with injury all year long that suddenly in that final 2 weeks ago, I think Fabian DeLuca, their ruckman, went down, and one of their big-name recruits in Courtney Dempsey suffered a calf injury as well. And as a result, I think Aberfeldy were able to get on top. And because of that, and there is another major injury concern in Adam Marrick as well for Greenvale coming out of the prelim because of that. Aberfeldy's probably the favourite at this stage, but I'm not counting the Jets out just yet.
That's three big injuries. I mean, they had a sort of strange entry into the grand final. Tell us about the prelim last week, being called off at three-quarter time.
Yeah, only three quarters got played, unfortunately. Your Maribyrnong Park's big ruckman, Chris Prowse, very nasty-looking injury. It's quite gruesome footage, actually. He's just landed in a marking contest, and he's broken his ankle quite badly. I actually haven't seen the footage yet. I don't think I want to either. But as a result, an ambulance was required, and unfortunately, that took a little too long to happen. And in the end, the umpires decided that the light wasn't good enough for the last quarter. But, yeah, Greenvale's probably in control of the game anyway. I think they were up by maybe 5 or 6 goals anyway, so they're probably going to win.
33 points.
It was a very unfortunate way to end the prelim, one of our biggest games of the year. But, it is what it is, I guess.
Quite strange. And how many are you expecting? And it sounds like Aberfeldy a favourite. I mean, 10,000? What do you get to EDFL Grand Finals at Windy Hill?
Oh, 10 would be nice. I'm probably thinking probably 4 or 5 more likely.
Yes.
Yeah, so only half the grandstands are there these days because of the bowls club and that. But, I think we're probably happy with about 5 or 6, I reckon. And hopefully we get a nice big crowd. Like I said, these are the biggest two sides in EDFL, the best two sides. It's a great rivalry. So expecting a very, very big crowd. And they're playing in the reserves as well, which only just built up that... build it up nicely.
And Division 2 and 3, have your grand finals been played already?
Yes, the weekend just gone. So Glen Roy, they won our B grade Division 1 grand final, and Jacana. It's a really good
first ever flag.
Jacana, in the EDFL. So they did win one, I think, in the Riddle.
That's right.
Before they moved over to our league. But Chrissy Johnson and Cam Cloak both start in that game, and they get their promotion. So that was a really good story. Yeah, Chrissy Johnson, his last game of footy. And he played quite well.
Well, it's a big, powerful football league. The Gorillas. They are the Gorillas. I just don't hear them called that very often.
No, for good reason.
Oh, it's a great nickname.
Two Blues for you.
Yeah, more commonly the Two Blues are a powerhouse, but there is nothing to be taken for granted at local football level. So all the best on a great grand final weekend, Adam.
Thank you. Hoping for a good one.
Go on, Adam.
Reckon you will. Now, apparently, Lake Wendouree, they are away from Lakerland.
As in the Tigerland, to the tune of the Tigerland song?
Yeah. What on earth? Carl! No interlopers during the program. What on earth happened there? I was about to sing a song and somebody came in. Now I've got the song. See, they've only given us the first line. Oh, we're from Lakerland. But I'm assuming it goes like this. Oh, we're from Lakerland. Come water skiing and fishing with us at Lakerland. Why not give your brand new boat a spin? Land trout, bream or a red fin. Swimming spots abound. Make sure you don't drown. If you jump in and swim, oh, we're from Lakerland. Come water skiing and fishing with us there. Now, I don't know their nickname. Like the Lakers of old, we wear... Now, this is what I need to know. Brown and gold?
Blue and green and yellow and...
Blue, green and yellow. Oh, they can't have more than...
That doesn't work. Oh, we're from Laker, blue, green, yellow, and red. They've only got to have two colours.
You've got something to work on there for.
Well, good luck to the Lakers. Good luck to all football teams this weekend. We're going to the break. Daff, I want to thank you and the Standard.
Go on, you're fine. Thank you.
Fitzroy Street in Fitzroy, not the one in St Kilda, so it's not that easy to find, but you'll love it when you get there.